services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 222. I'm Adam, and O tempora, O mores. And here's Isabella Pearson.
Hello.
What about your quote?
What's that?
Never mind. And here's Kirby Bartlett-Sloan.
Must you hiss my name from all corners? Hmm?
Here's on Skype, Debbie Melrose.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, you.
On Skype, wow.
Well, have a grape.
And Mary Lang.
My first real sight of history.
Yes, indeed.
No, you need to squee. I mean, that was one of the greatest examples of a squee I've ever heard.
All right.
Well, yeah. Yes. Alicia does that all the time when she's talking to her friend in inverted commas. But anyway. Right. Yes, this week we're going to be looking at the Romans. But first of all, we're going to be talking to Debbie, who's just recovering from her operation. How are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better. I'm doing this from bed, but yeah, I'm doing a lot better, thank you.
I hope that's not the way it's going to continue, because I made you a cup of tea and everything.
Did you?
Yes.
So I've got my Dalek mug here, so yeah.
Depending on how far away she lives, we can talk to each other while you run it over.
Yeah, well, yep. I had my Dalek teapot ready, all stoked up with a load of tea, but clearly it's...
She's got to be only the size of the Isle of Wight, and you must be able to get there within 5 minutes.
No, less than that. I'm about a minute away.
Right then, episode one of The Romans starts with the title sequence.
Really?
And then the TARDIS falling over.
Yeah.
Into a little pit.
Yeah.
I imagine they actually...
They have leaves around it.
Yeah, they probably disguised it, or they put the leaves there themselves, I presume.
I think they did.
According to the info text, that is what they did, is those leaves are not supposed to have grown around it. They were put there to disguise it.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Pardon?
I had no idea.
Did you? Okay. So they're in a villa, lounging around, I think Ian has
holiday.
Ian has to be very careful to keep his legs together while wearing that.
And the doctor was watering the plants.
Yes, he was watering the plants. Are you sure it's not wine, though, Isabella?
Well, it does look a bit like wine.
Well, you can't really tell because it's black and white.
Is it water? Yeah, it's water.
What do they call these garments that Ian was wearing? What they call him?
I forgot.
No, you won't know because I didn't say. But what they call those sort of Romany...
Toga.
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 Yes.
Because when I was in year two, I was learning about the Romans.
Oh, yeah? What did you learn?
I forgot.
William Hartnell was the doctor at the time, and Ian Chesterton.
Yes.
Amazing what you learn at school these days, isn't it?
That's because we watched the Romans already.
You watched this, have you?
Yeah.
At school?
Yeah.
I don't think you have.
Yes.
You watched this at school. No way, they didn't have a Doctor Who.
No.
I know Alicia used to watch certain episodes of Doctor Who at Solent Middle School, but that was David Tennant episodes. Fires of Pompeii and stuff like that.
Watched Romans at school.
You have not watched this at school.
I'm joking.
Right, anyway. So
one thing that they had in the info text for this was they highlighted letters that had been sent into the BBC complaining about the story. And one was, and I believe correctly, that the toga that Ian is wearing is only appropriate for an adolescent boy.
Oh dear.
Because of the stripe along the edge.
Okay, if you say so. Anyway.
A certain level of bureaucrat that he could not have possibly been.
He just raided the cupboard of the
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes,
we can't hold Ian responsible for that.
Anyway, so the Doctor and Ian stay at the villa while Barbara and Vicky go down to the village to peruse the market. Meanwhile,
before it closes.
Yes, right. Maximus Petalian is playing his lyre.
Yeah.
Which is what Alicia does.
Liar, liar, pants up.
Yeah, that's what Alicia does quite a lot of the time, actually, when she wants
does
to
say that to me a
avoid
lot.
Us finding out stuff.
She says that to me a lot.
And then is it Drax hops out the bushes at some point to kill Max? Is it Drax, isn't it, from Armageddon Factor? The Doctor's old friend from...
Is it?
The Doctor's old university friend, what they call it.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Thag, one up on, that's worth one up on Kirby already. Excellent.
Ooh. Yeah, you got to be up pretty early in the morning to do that.
Yes. Anyway, so they go to this this trader who's trying to sell cloth, and the two slave hunters soon discover... The two slave hunters soon discover that the girls might be Britons. So they go after
it's a
thinking...
pretty price, don't they, Britons?
They do. Quite rightly so. And as I say, like Maximus Battalion gets murdered by Drax. And then the girls return to the villa.
Oh, he is Drax. You're right.
Yeah. Yes, I Barry know Jackson. Right. Yes, I
Barry
know.
Jackson.
Yes, I know. Anyway, so they have a little bit of a meal cooked up by Barbara.
I don't know what they say this part.
Do you? Go on then.
Then the Doctor was going to Ren, and then she was going.
The Doctor was moaning though, Isabella, because he was sort of bored and he wanted to do something. So
go and have some letters with him, adventures.
Yeah, so he goes. He says he's going to Rome, and Vicky says I'm coming too. Yes,
Master.
Fred.
Fred's dad, sorry. And Ian at the
Master.
Roman Villa.
Isabella's talking, yeah. Thank you, Isabella. Yes.
Another inaccuracy that was pointed out in letters to the BBC, but I also noticed it while I was watching the first episode the first time through, is when they have that meal, they should all be reclining on couches instead of sitting up around the table.
Yeah, that's and farting as well, which would obviously have happened.
And there's an interesting extra on the DVD, obviously much later, of the Blue Peter presenting a Roman meal, and everyone's lying around this table and.
Lying around the stable? They ate their dinners in stables? My goodness, did you know that, Isabella?
It's only at high functions that they did the reclining thing.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Insufficient data for meaningful response.
Excellent. Well done, Debbie.
And
right.
I was more under the impression that they were done. They were just sitting around talking about the meal.
Yeah, the lark's tongues and the ant's eggs in honey or whatever it was. Yeah,
delicious.
Yeah.
It's more of a Monty Python sort of menu.
Yes,
lark's
lark.
No, that's lark's vomit.
Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah.
Lovingly garnished with lark's vomit. Lark vomit! Sorry, we're going to go down the road of Monty Python. Right, so... so the doctor and
Albatross.
Be quiet. Doctor and Vicky go off to the village while Ian and Barbara flirt. I mean, talk about alleged
fridge.
Jokes to do with fridges and stuff. Bit of flat slapstick, and there's points in which they could have had a snog actually, because they were getting very close and touchy feely.
A snog?
Other.
You think that's all they did?
I have
like
a 7-year old in the room with me.
I know, but they look like they're having more of a good time than that.
This is Ian and Barbara. They're probably, since we know they're still alive.
This is early 60s, that's before love.
Having fun with each other.
It was more love, the loving time at the late 60s, wasn't it? This is before people didn't do it in those days. So anyway, the slave catchers take their knives and go out to the villa where they sort of find Ian and Barbara, and there's a bit of a scuffle, and Barbara smashes a vase over Ian's head, allowing them to take them. Meanwhile,
which is not part of the original script,
is it not?
But as they made this more humorous, they added that bit in.
So it's more farcical than humorous.
One of the slave traders was originally supposed to have smashed the vase over his head, but then they worked out. A lot of this was worked out in rehearsal, and I'm glad of it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so the Doctor and Vicky find the dead body of Maximus Battalion, and then that precise moment, a centurion turns up, and the Doctor takes on the identity of Maximus Battalion, doesn't he, Isabella? But the Roman centurion seems to think, hang on, you should be dead. So why didn't he just kill him?
He's getting better. Yeah. No, he can't. The centurion cannot be seen to be the actual murderer.
Well, you could have killed both of them.
That's why he allows this to continue.
Anyway. So, meanwhile, Ian and Barbara are sort of chained up. And they're sort of heading to the for the slave market. And Ian's quickly taken away, isn't he? Because he says, I'll meet you. I'll meet you in Rome. Like, shut up. Yes.
Is it like... So they were... like the slaves are going to be sold to other people.
Yeah, do not learn that at school.
No.
Yeah, I thought you said you learned Romans at school.
Glossed over kid version.
Yeah. So anyway, Drax.
Learn it in Romans high school.
Drax is in a bit of trouble because he apparently failed to kill Maximus Battalion. Well, he didn't, but he gets given one more chance, and that's to actually kill the Doctor.
Now, Ascarius, that's the name of the character.
Yes, yes.
Is a parasitic nematode. The name, that word means a parasitic nematode.
Okay. So there's
he's
a couple of moments.
A bit of a worm.
There's a couple of moments in the little scuffle, which I love, between William Hartnell and Barry Jackson, that you nearly see Barry's attributes. Ian's supposed to be the action hero, but this is probably the only time you see Hartnell's Doctor getting involved in a bit of fight scene.
Giggling all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is really good. Of course, Barry Jackson himself was a stuntman and fight coordinator before he sort of decided to go down the acting, or just straight acting role, rather than doing stunts and fights. So,
I found after the fight that he kept messing his lines up.
Did he? What?
Yeah,
Hartnell?
Yeah,
I think I was noticing him messing his lines up throughout the whole production.
Yeah, I know. It was really noticeable after the fight. It's like he got so excited.
Yeah, he clearly enjoyed it. Of course, it was Vicky that actually puts an end to it because she chases him away with a vase. Meanwhile, Barbara is being very kind to a lady in the cells, and Ian is now on a galley, isn't he, Isabella?
Yeah.
What's he doing on the galley?
He has to, be rowing the boat. So,
yeah. But you thought it was Vikings. You said, is this a Viking boat? For some reason. I don't quite understand what you were thinking there. But anyway, he's made a friend. Didius, I think his name was. I didn't think Didius was particularly well portrayed.
Delos. You're talking about Delos. Peter Diamond.
Sorry, but he's not a very good actor. He was the fight, actually, in this production. He was the fight... instructor.
Yeah.
So maybe he wasn't actually an actor. That's why he wasn't particularly good. I don't know.
And he's been in lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah, since then.
Even before then.
Mm. What, as an actor or as a stuntman?
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Now, the thing that I associate him most with, though, is at the beginning of Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope.
Yes.
He is the Tusken Raider. At the beginning, who you see stand up and wield his stick.
Oh, I wonder what you're going to say for a moment there.
Gaffy stick, I think.
Gaffy stick, yes.
Yeah. I thought I might get some of these Roman names wrong, but yes. What do you say he's called again? Didos, yes.
Delos.
Delos, or Los. I'll go with Deb's correct pronunciation of Delos. And meanwhile, Barbara gets purchased by the baldy chap. Oh, what's his blooming name?
Tavius.
Thank you.
Now, master.
Master. Yes.
The galley master, the guy, the galley slave guy, was. I found this interesting because we had just finished watching. Fred and I just finished watching Blackadder the Third last week, and he plays George Gurton Clauber. He played Mad King George III in the last episode of Blackadder the Third.
Oh, did he?
Wish him to marry this rosebush.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, so back to the story. And we must stop saying anyway, because I listened to that back last week and I found it very irritating. But you lot make me say it by going off on tangents. So I'm going to blame you.
Anyway.
Right. So Barbara gets sold at the slave auction to... To Baldy, yes, because he comes up with a ridiculous amount of money for her. Meanwhile, the galleon has, or the galley has sunk.
Yeah, it crashed.
What have you got on your tongue? So you got a pierced tongue. Stick your tongue out.
Meh.
What is it?
Meh.
It's meh. What is it?
Meh.
Show me.
Know.
What is it? Show me. Show me. Something you shouldn't have in your mouth. Anyway, right. I've said it again. That was your fault. So Ian has washed up on the shore and he's all right. He's a bit unconscious, but he's all right.
And crashed.
His boat. No, it's a galley, wasn't it?
Crashed.
Anyway, so they're sort of free for a limited period of time.
They had a hole.
While Barbara becomes Nero's personal
papaya.
Yeah, that.
What you just...
Oh yeah, all right, papayas, but ended up.
Master?
Indirectly. Yes, go on.
Back when Tavius first buys Barbara at the slave auction, that's one of the first of the ongoing series of jokes where the doctor and Barbara kind of pass each other without seeing each other.
I like this aspect. It's very similar to
Donna and... Yes.
In what's that one called? The first Donna story, other than Runaway Bride.
Wait,
David Tennant.
Runaway Bride.
Partners in Crime. Yeah. That's one. Thank you. I came up with myself, and I get a point for me.
I haven't watched it.
You've seen Partners in Crime, right? So
until the iconic scene of the two of them opposite sides of the room and windows.
Yes, that's the one. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Vicky meet Nero, and Vicky gets very excited in the presence of Nero, who's munching on a massive leg of some creature.
Stick.
That's a bone of some variety, but I assume he's not munching on a stick. Yes, I'm going to find out what bird it is now. Yes, I am here, yes.
I don't know what happened there, because my connection was very, very good.
What? I can still hear you. We're just ignoring you.
We would not have an episode if you didn't have computer problems.
Yeah.
So let's get out of
here. I disappeared for a moment,
I'm down in the podcast dungeon. Pardon me.
Mm. Right. Did you want to say something, or are you just saying master for the sake of it?
No, I wasn't sure. All of a sudden, I was talking to nothing.
Okay. Well, same as normal then. Moving on. Right. So the Doctor and Nero do a little sort of... pretend they can't or can play the liar scene, which is obviously leading up to the Emperor's new clothes gag. And you knew that was on its way, but it works really well in this production. Right, so Vicky then, of course, says to the Doctor, because he's going to play, and Vicky says, well, how are you going to do that then?
I don't know.
Thank you, Isabella. Will you stop muttering to yourself? I'm trying to concentrate here. Right, so... yeah, what happens next? I'm just looking through. Oh, yeah.
I like the fact that Tavius is always hissing at the Doctor to say, your plot will happen tomorrow. Your plot is going to happen here.
But also, at some point...
Yeah,
Ian,
and a lot of it... Go ahead.
Ian and his middle mate, sorry, always forget the name of, get recaptured and are going to get thrown to the lions.
Yeah, to the stock footage of lions.
Yes, the sound of roaring.
Lions that are already eating, so you know that they can't possibly be hungry.
And
so picky.
I was also amused by the fact that all of these sound effects and stuff, I keep forgetting how primitive television production was back then. And thing is, I've read a lot of books about television production here in the U.S., and things weren't quite as primitive. I guess they just didn't have a big budget or something. Things like the lion's roar was actually piped into the studio and picked up on the microphones.
Well, there you go. Thank you for that, Kobe.
They had Graham's operators who were doing that, and the crowd noises were actually being heard through the microphones from being played back on speakers.
Thank you.
Weird things like that.
But if you may say that it's primitive, I'll tell you what, some of the camera work in this production wasn't primitive. It was extremely advanced and extremely good, especially
yes.
as, you know, shooting through bars and using the focus control on the woman in the bar when she remembers the name of Ian.
They commissioned more than the usual amount of cameras for this one. They were using 5 at some points.
Yeah. And I nearly said it. I'll stop myself. So this is where we get the Nero chasing Barbara around the same corridors over and over again. Yeah. And just missing.
Enormous.
It does.
Because when they're chasing, they're coming and going through a lot. It looks like a lot of different places.
Yeah. But it works really well with the Doctor and Barbara just missing each other. It's a very, very clever scene. Also, it's a very similar to a sort of thing you'd get out of a Carry On film.
Era. Apparently, since 3/4 of the cast went on to do Carry On films, I guess this is where they got their practice.
Quite possibly. But
I haven't
really
seen any Carry On films. I did check on Netflix, and several of them are available to be watched online.
I'd be very careful and selective as to which ones you decide to watch. Will you shut up making silly noises?
One of the ones that can be watched online is Carry On Cleo, which is apparently
That's
Cleopatra
funny.
And
yes.
set and has a lot of these same people.
Yeah, there are some awful ones, but that's why I say be selective. If you're going to watch a Carry On film, make sure you're watching, you know, the better ones first, because otherwise you end up not watching any.
Well, tell us a good
one. I was going to say, we need to be clued in there.
Okay, I'll let Debbie do that. Moving on to the rest of this story. Now my thing stopped. Right, so there's a bit of scene in which I think Nero falls over and Vicky sees him fall over and laughs about it, but doesn't see Vicky. Barbara, sorry. And then Vicky is sent down to the poison kitchen and meets the chief poisoner.
She ends up in there, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
Nero, yeah, Lacusta or...
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's very posh, she was.
Yeah, posh poisoner.
Yes. But that was quite a good little scene, that. And then I tell you what, the fact that Nero is sort of trying to chase Barbara is a bit sort of awkward in nowadays. We'd put that down as sexual harassment, wouldn't you?
Yes. Well, they were trying to show that he is pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Now they were in real life. Jackie Hill and Derek Francis were very good friends.
Yes.
And he heard about this from her and. That's kind of how he got his name in, because apparently he was one of the biggest stars so far at this point to be on Doctor Who.
Oh, right, okay. So I've lost where I was now. Oh, yeah, because like I said, Ian, he's banged up, but the woman in the cells remembers Barbara because of Ian having an unusual name for the time.
And Barbara would be a rather unusual name, too.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, the Doctor and Nero have a little sauna together, which was quite amusing. And then there's we come to the sort of banquet thing where the Doctor sort of plays nothing and convinces everybody that only people with a certain, you know, certain ear can hear what's being played. Which, like I say, is a bit silly, but this is a light-hearted story.
And you missed the little. You didn't refer to the scene before that, where Vicky, or as the character was originally named Tanny,
right,
had tried to rescue the slave that she didn't know was Barbara. She switches the drinks and. Tells the Doctor, "Oh, I think I've poisoned Nero."
Yeah, sorry.
And then there's the scene where Nero says, "My dear Maximus, you've probably saved my life, only if I could lay my hands on whoever was responsible." While he's got his arm around Vicky.
Of course, there's also his personal slave that keeps annoying him. That ends up dying because he gets him to drink the poison, which is... quite funny. Not the fact he died, but oh, never mind. So,
Nero's aside to the camera, he was right.
And this is we're leading up to the bit where Ian and his little buddy, whose name I keep forgetting, are going to fight each other in the arena. But and also, this is where Ian and Barbara see each other again because
finally,
she's sitting next to him.
Did you notice the little bit of odd casting decision? The guy who hands Delos and Ian their weapons and is kind of talking about the slaves and everything at that point is the slave trader from the first episode.
Is it?
Yes.
No, I didn't notice that. But I thought
he's
playing a different character, is he?
He's playing a different character, really? Although you could kind of say he's the same character because he's interacting with the slaves, but here he is directly talking to Nero and everything, whereas before he was kind of just this lowlife.
I thought he was. Oh, never mind. Yeah, I thought he was the same character. That's why I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah, Ian's about to get his head chopped off with the old famous
thumb. Which, by the way, is historically inaccurate because Nero had abolished the killing of the gladiators if they failed 5 years before.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, Kirby.
Thank infotext.
Okay. So,
of course, the infotext has been wrong, as Debbie has pointed out a couple of times to me.
Popeye, she's the one that actually...
I did love with the infotext is that through... I put a screen capture on Facebook page, but throughout this entire show, whenever they referred to someone being in another episode, Doctor Who, even through the modern era, they would show the year of that episode in Roman numerals. It was hilarious.
Right, so Popeye is basically she wants. I think the poison Poppy is, or whatever her blooming name is designing to try and to kill Barbara. I think that's basically because she feels threatened by Barbara because Nero fancies her. So that's how we end up with this sort of conspiracy thing. And
could have killed Nero.
Could have killed Nero, yes, but it didn't.
Because
Doctor finds out about it and says, oh, you can't change history, even though the Doctor does it all the time. And the Doctor saves Nero, but then sets fire to all the plans, which gives Nero... He's going to just about to kill the Doctor because of it, and then it gives him the idea of setting fire to the whole of Rome.
I was afraid they were going to set fire to the whole of the studio.
Yeah, there was a light for quite a long time.
To do a design of his own. To do a design for his own town to set fire.
It's a city, there's Rome.
Yeah, city.
Yes. And then he gets a load of extras to set fire to the city. And then the Doctor and Ian and Barbara all sort of escape, and we find out that that Baldy chap is in fact a Christian. Very subtly done that, is it? Don't mention it. They show him holding his little cross.
Oh yeah,
which is kind of weird because they didn't have crosses then,
no. Right?
Yeah, but I think it was needed to do it that way. Keep having to get Isabella to stop playing with a microphone. Mm. Very irritating when people don't listen to what you're saying. Oh dear, that's like being on this show. Pardon? Will you stop playing with it? If you touch it to your chest, there's a wire that will come out on the blooming microphone. For goodness sake. It's like having Alicia back on the show. Right, right. Where did I get up to? Yeah, so the Doctor realises he's the one that's responsible for being set in via Rome and finds it quite funny. I wouldn't find it very funny. He's probably killed several people in the process. And then Ian and Barbara return to the...
And he references it again during the fires of Pompeii.
He does. Ian and Barbara then return to the villa, and there's a bit of, he manhandles her in a bit of a sexual harassment sort of...
Again.
Yes, what are they up to? And then, of course, we have the scene where the Doctor and Vicky turn back and they don't want to listen to each other's stories, or the Doctor doesn't want to listen to Ian's story. And then
the Doctor thinks Ian and Barbara have just been
they've been there all the time.
Lounging around.
And that essentially is the end of the story. Right then, so as per usual,
my goodness,
say
that is the fastest we've gone through.
Well, it's a fairly straightforward story. Right, I'm going to say what I think of this one. What can I say? It's an absolutely really brilliant story. It's I've watched it twice because it's such, so much fun. It's one of the best Hartnell stories. It is a bit of a comedy, a bit of a farce, but as I've always said, if it's written correctly, comedy is fine for Doctor Who. Obviously, there's a few sort of historical...
Comedy's always fine for Doctor Who.
There's a few historical inaccuracies, and this was clearly set meant to be educational for the kids, a little bit of history, you know, what happened with Nero and stuff. I just love it. I think it's a great little piece. It's just ironic that the story that follows it is absolutely awful, but this one is great. Love it.
Well,
Isabella,
Isabella. Some of us haven't seen Web of Fear.
Web of Fear?
Not a Web of Fear. What is
Web Planet?
Web Planet.
Mm. Yeah.
So I would.
I'd watch that on your own at some point if you need to. Obviously, it needs to be watched.
Well, we are going to do that one when it pops up.
And I can guarantee I will not be watching it on that occasion. I'll just be letting you lot talk about it because I do not want to sit through six episodes of that. Anyway, Isabella, what did you think of it?
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
That's historically inaccurate too.
I know.
Is that it? Is that your review? Thumbs up. What did you like about the story?
It was actually really adventurous.
Was it? No. Anything else?
No.
Who's the best character? Who is your favourite character in it?
Vicky.
Okay. Right then, Kirby, what did you think of this one?
Oh, I love this one. This was so much fun. In some ways, this may be my favorite Hartnell so far, because I really kind of, I hate to say this, even though we needed the First Doctor to get the show started, he wasn't all that great. And this one, he was fun, he was with it, even with the flubs that he had, and it was a great deal. It was fun.
Yeah.
Doctor, fun.
Thank you very much. Debbie.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I watched it a few times because obviously I've had a lot of time just chilling out and lying around not doing anything all week. So I've watched quite a few Doctor Who's.
Good.
And absolutely loved it. I love the fact that, you know, it says from the beginning it's a break from the normal travel through space and time. We're having a break. We're just chilling out in this manor, villa for a month. We're just going to have some time out. And so it's just, I like the fact that it's just a fun, happy, really giggly episode of Doctor Who with, lots of lessons and obviously inaccuracies, but also it's enjoyable for both adults and kids. And it's one of the fun ones and actually my favourite Hartnell.
And one of the only Doctor Who stories not to have any monsters in it at all.
Yes, there's that too, yeah. Other than Nero.
No, not sentient monster.
The human monster instead this time round, no. But,
one didn't have
brilliant.
A tongue.
Thank you. Pardon?
One didn't have a tongue.
And here we go, everybody. It's Mary.
Well, I was rather bored by it. I guess I just don't appreciate 1960s humor. It just isn't my kind of humor. So I found it a bit overstated. But it's obvious that the cast is having a lot of fun. So I enjoyed it for the fact that the cast was, getting a bit of a break and not always screaming and cowering from monsters. And Vicky is a breath of fresh air. I enjoyed her. She's like the first time that we see a companion be excited about being somewhere. instead of always trying to escape and get into the TARDIS and go back, to where they came from, it's kind of like Vicky is the first one to go, "Yay! This is interesting and fun." And it's obvious that William Hartnell's having a good time. I don't think I've ever seen him giggle so much. That's about it. I found it kind of boring, so I probably wouldn't watch it again. But it's not like a worst episode or anything.
Oh, not at all. You get outvoted by all of us, think it was really good. Yes, Kirby.
I'm not familiar with where her character came from. What is Vicky from the future or
yes,
the past? Or
very much.
Yeah, she's from the future.
A distant yeah. future, because she thinks the Beatles is classic music.
And okay. she thinks aspirin is voodoo medicine. Yeah.
Yeah. What should I go? What should I go to see where she comes
in? The previous
into?
Story to this one.
And it is?
Rescue.
And does it exist?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was released initially on VHS with this story. It was The Rescue of the Romans.
Oh, okay.
Right. I think we can do some feedback now. We have this piece of feedback, if I can press the right button instead of trying to download it.
Well, good evening, 20 megabytes. It's 6:05
quiet,
on Saturday evening. The Lovely Dawn has just returned from a trot around the block and now playing the new iPhone. Don't know why she wants one. And I'm sat here with a glass of Slovenian Pinot Grigio, which I must admit is not bad at all. The guy at Wine Rack probably recommended it, and I can see why. Anyway, I've got the Heineken Cup rugby final in front of me, so a brief pause while Kirby, who will be listening to this, snores, because I don't think he's actually recording on it, so, Kirby. Anyway, the Romans. Now, it's often been touted as the comedy episode of Doctor Who, which is quite right. There's a lot of puns at the very beginning about liars and liar players and looking out for liars and stuff like that. However, you'll notice it's actually one of the most bloodthirsty episodes I've ever seen. There's
no blood.
A lot of casual killing. There's the Aglon live play himself. There's the centurion who goes to kill him. He gets done in. There's the guy who goes out the window. There's actually, of course, Nero kills one of his own guards instead of killing Barbara. And it all seems so casual. I mean, it is.
That's what I said.
Casual brutality. Mm. And also, in other ways, one of the most adult ones ever, because, of course, Nero is chasing around after Barbara, and it's quite obvious what he's up to.
Yeah.
And it does seem that he's got quite a record for doing this in the past, I mean, as Nero did.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what Mary Whitehouse would have made of this had she watched it at the time. excuse me, I thought I'd just pause on that as well. But overall, you know, people do say it's a comedy one, you can see why. I guess the actors must have had a great lot of fun doing this because they could really let themselves off the hook and do whatever they wanted to. Quality of the story, yeah, I mean, episode 4, you know, just, you know, what is there? There's nothing really going on there. It's a very, very dull, slow story from that point of view, but it's just a bit of light relief, and that's all it really can say about it. Yeah, it's enjoyable, but no real story to it. There's a lot of plot holes in it, like how they actually land the TARDIS, and the TARDIS crashes, and the next we see they're in somebody's villa, they just waltzed in. Empty villa, what they do for money and stuff like that. So they seem to be robbing the left,
they're
right,
selling stuff at the market.
They disappear off into Rome, and the TARDIS is still there when they get back, and the place is still empty. So, you know, how they do that, I don't know. And, you know,
pay attention to the story.
You've got to tell Vicky and Doctor what they all got up to, because it really was a whole story about them all missing each other and stop not bumping into each other and not even knowing the other one's there as well. So it's a bit of high fart in a way, really, you could say.
Pardon?
That. People call this Carry On Cleo or something like that. That's a bit more like Up Pompeii, you know. Apart from some Frank Howard popping up at any moment, you know, with them titty-y knob, which of course would have been thoroughly in tone, as I said, the rather adult theme of the entire story. But I think for, you know, for all that, it's enjoyable enough. It's just a romp. I guess it was
a lot of romping going on.
They were so tired themselves, you know, the scripts they'd written, the stories were going to be so good so far, so perhaps it was time to just unwind, let people off the hook. And William Hartnell also had a clear bundle of laughs doing this. I mean, his village in Aikido is tremendous. You know, perhaps we could have first thing, his third doctor village in Aikido off, you know, imagine the two of them fighting. I'm assuming it was a stunt double who played it there. So I can't imagine that Billy would have done that. He was... the referee just got knocked into in the middle of the grey. Helen Long got in the way. Oh, it's wonderful, that was. I can't imagine Billy Hart between what... in about the late 50s then, wouldn't he? I know...
Early to mid, I would have thought.
He was a hell of a lot fitter than Hartnell. So, like I said, I assume there's some double getting involved there.
I don't think it was.
At the end of the second episode,
light-hearted.
No.
There's a lot of plot holes. I think anyone took it seriously at all. And so, that's it. And anyway, be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy. That was Andy Nunny, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Hey, I have a question.
We
last see that lady who Barbara befriends in the cages there, the jails. And I wonder, whatever became of her? I mean, did she lion food? I mean,
she was destined for the lions.
Yeah, she was.
Yep. Like this lady. And then
superfluous character, yes.
Tell anything else about her, so I'm assuming she got eaten.
She did get eaten, indeed. She was kitty cat for lions.
Wasn't it Nero who used to use slaves as live candles in the gardens? Was that Nero?
Yeah. No, that was probably Caligula.
Mm. Okay. Nice. Right then, we have some more audio feedback. This is from Billy Kirkbright.
How you going, everybody? This is Billy in the land of Oz.
What's now that people giving this
first
quiet
of all,
audio?
I just want to say that I'm apologise
for being quiet,
being sore in me. So that last time I sent in some feedback was actually on the fourth birthday of the 20 megabyte podcast. I never even mentioned that. So here we go. Happy belated birthday, 20 megabyte podcast.
Thank you very much.
Done a fantastic job.
What about my birthday?
Look forward to many years to come of joyful times with the 20 megabyte podcast. Okay, right. So the
Dr.
Romans, you know, apart from Unearthly Child, this is the first ever William Hartnell story I've seen all the way through. Obviously, I've seen snippets of him from other stories, but I've never actually seen a full story of him, which was quite interesting. And how different it was from that I've known of Doctor Who to date. Had this been my first exposure to Doctor Who, I'm not sure I would have been captivated so much as I was back when I first saw it when Pertwee was the Doctor. I think that's mainly because of the lack of sci-fi component, perhaps. Yeah, but I must admit, when the story started on this particular story of the Romans, I was a little bit confused in view of the fact that the TARDIS landed, fell off the cliff. You saw the Doctor and Co. Mm-hmm. inside the TARDIS, mm-hmm. and then it went straight to the Roman villa where they're eating grapes, wearing Roman costumes and talking and so on. I'm thinking to myself, have I missed something here? Else, is there a section of this particular episode missed? Because there was no lead up to the fact that. So what led him to be in the Roman villa. Okay, but I must admit, that aside, the costumes were great. I thought it was quite refreshing, in fact, not seeing actors dressed up in rubber outfits posing as monsters and threats and so on. That was good, I thought. And I did see the Doctor wear glasses at one stage. I'm not sure whether they wore glasses back in 64 AD in Rome. Interesting. Anyway, some great comedy moments, obviously, particularly in episode 2, where the Doctor was fighting the assassin, and Vicky came in and he fell out the window, and the Doctor was boasting gleefully how good he was with fisticuffs to Vicky. I thought that was quite funny, and also quite uncharacteristic from what I've known of William Hartnell's Doctor. To engage in physical fights and so on. I didn't think he was the physical type, and I was quite surprised to see that, to be honest. Also, I think Derek Francis, as Nero, needs a mention. He was fantastic. He was very funny. His facial expressions were second to none. I thought that was really funny when he was chasing Barbara in the bedroom and he was sprung by his wife. In fact, while I was watching this particular scene, I'm thinking, is this a carry-on movie I'm watching or what? So, it was kind of reminding me a bit of the old carry-on film.
Well, that's because... Oh, Kirby's already said.
But with this heavy comedy element, I'm not sure that was quite fitting for Doctor Who.
Of course it is.
Particularly being so much brought to the fore in this particular story. I thought obviously the historical element was, and that fell in line with Sidney Newman's idea with involving history in the show to educate kids and so on. But no, it was a great story to watch. A little bit slow moving at times, but enjoyable no less. And it's actually aroused my curiosity to see some more of William Hartnell, and I'll probably do that in days to come, if not only to see the lovely. Beautiful Vicky. Okay, that's it for my lot. Have a fantastic week. Take care.
Thank you, Billy. And I have to agree, yes, Vicky was very beautiful. Wasn't she, Kirby?
Yes.
What do you think, Isabella?
Yeah.
Yes, Isabella's favourite character. But I did get the feeling that she was playing a character that's probably about 14, 15, and she looked like she was in her early 20s. No? Okay, fine. Right, we have another bit of audio feedback, and it's from the usual source. Here it is.
Hello, 20 Minute Map Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. I've got a cold.
I can hear.
Yes, I've gone viral. Through the magic of podcasting, that was yesterday, and now I'm fine. Last week, I forgot to mention the unit dating controversy. I might have it wrong, but to me, the controversy is, why is Joe Grant dating Matt Yates, when Sergeant Benton is more likely to make an honest woman out of her?
Good grief. Especially as Yates is
Captain
gay.
Rack appeared in the story Enlightenment. I don't think her first name is ever mentioned. Could it be Anna? I did not give a rat's bottom about which episode featured a character called Jago.
Oh, well, thank
Since
you very
no
much.
One said so last week, I can exclusively reveal that the Talons of Wing Chiang
Bit
featured
late.
Both Jago and the giant rat's bottom. no offence to George Lightfoot. The Romans. Quo Vadis meets Benny Hill. When the Romans invaded England, they agreed to let the King of East Anglia continue to rule his own tribe. When he died, they attacked his widow, Boudica, and tried to rule the area.
I mentioned Boudica once before, and it went right over the Americans' heads.
The capital of Britain in Roman times was Colchester. They believed the only way was Essex. Boudica defeated the 9th Legion and destroyed Colchester. The governor, Gaius Paulinus, had led most of his army to Wales, looking for Captain Jack Harkness. Paulinus defeated Boudica in 61 AD. So there might have been British slaves in Rome in 64 AD. Did they have the Australian cricket team on that galley? In, out, in, out. I don't think there would be much danger of Nero marrying a foreign slave. Perhaps this is to show how nutty Poppaea is. The only joke I found funny was where Nero had his arm around Vicky and says he wishes he could get his hands on whoever was responsible for him having his drink poisoned. Nero killed himself aged 31, so Derek Francis is a bit long in the tooth for historical accuracy.
Yes.
When the doctor told Vicky that burning Rome was not his idea, I would have liked her to throw his harp at him and shout, Liar.
Yeah.
I'm a rack. It's good night from me.
Ian. Strange name. I never heard it before.
And it's good night from her.
Thank you, Ian. I tell you, that has Thank reminded you, me that...
what
that,
a strange oh. name.
What, Ian? Yeah.
Yes. Exotic.
Will you stop playing with the dog while Sorry. I'm podcasting? Yeah, this did remind me of my funniest line from the story, or the funniest bit I... Or the bit I most enjoyed humorously was the bit where they're having a bit of an argument in the villa... And the doctor, whenever irritated by Ian, calls him not Chesterton, so he calls him Chesterfield. And Barbara goes, Chesterton! And he goes, oh, Barbara's calling you. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh.
That made me laugh out loud. Yeah, so that's feedback done. And therefore, we can welcome somebody to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, because we have a new member.
Hey.
That's not going to take very long. And it well we've got two according to this list. It says Amy LaRocque Decline. That sounds like a chair, doesn't it? A declining chair.
And Junior.
What Isabella just said. What is it, Isabella?
Dale Rockwell Junior.
Yeah, so welcome one and all to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. A new membership seems to be declining recently. We have 362 members at the moment. Where are you going? Why are you sounding surprised?
You know what they say about Latin teachers, don't you?
No, I'm sure you're going to tell me that.
They all decline away.
You know, something that Billy brought up that had me wondering when I watched this episode is they don't address how the crew got out of the TARDIS when it fell down that cliff, and they also don't address how did they get back in there. They're way down a cliff in the bushes and trees.
I would imagine they use what the Doctor used in the 11th Hour to get out of the TARDIS. Hello, what's that noise? What is it? Is that your mum on the phone?
It's Alicia's music.
Oh, it's Alicia's music. What a surprise. Should have known that one, shouldn't I? You stop knocking things on the table. There are microphones in this room, and it will make noises. Right, so I was just...
There are microphones in the room while you're podcasting? Really?
Yes, and she doesn't seem to appreciate that she's very close to one of them. She keeps on making silly noises.
It's usually me.
Is it? What, making silly noises?
Yeah.
It's always me.
Talking to the dog.
Stop playing with the blimmin' clip.
It's not me.
She's got a tie-clip microphone at the moment.
Now, did anyone notice that Matthew has just posted to the Facebook page and he declined to join us?
No, but I noticed what you just said, so I didn't quite catch what you said. Anybody catch what Kirby just said?
Matthew's just posted to Facebook.
Oh. Yeah.
Which means he could have joined us, but of course...
We
didn't. He is alive, since I did see him on Sunday.
He's got photographic evidence.
He's alive.
He's shy. He's shy. That's all.
It's you.
I'm shy.
I think I'm convinced that he's intimidated by Debbie.
No.
Yeah.
That's right. He's never been on a show that has Debbie.
No, that's it. And so once he heard Debbie was on the show, that was it.
Maybe he feels replaced.
Maybe he's shy.
No, I think, I don't know. What do you think, Kirby?
I think he's shy.
Is your name Kirby?
I have no idea.
Yes.
He kept giving me all these excuses. It was almost as if he was carrying around this very thick book of excuses.
He might be jealous.
Jealous of what?
He might be jealous that Debbie's on the show, but now
they'll
have been too...
No, I can guarantee Debbie is not threatening.
Too many people.
Yeah, you have to bear in mind she's got a reputation for buying people lovely teapots on their birthday. So who's got the next birthday coming up? Isabella?
Me!
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah, don't think you're getting a teapot, Isabella.
Julia just had a birthday.
Huh? Yes.
My middle daughter, who is the one
who's...
Yes, happy birthday, Julia.
Even though Julia is not Fred. Fred is my older daughter who doesn't want her name mentioned.
I love the pictures you posted up of them.
But Julia is much more of a overall Doctor Who fan. Fred likes the older stuff.
Hang on, I'm relieving the dog of her position in this room. I don't know why she's getting so excited.
Goodbye.
Right. I offered to... We drove down to drop in by Timegate for a little over an hour on Sunday, and I offered to take Fred there, and she wasn't interested.
Yeah.
And obviously, Julia was quite excited, and she even made the picture of her with me in the TARDIS her Facebook profile picture.
It's a great
picture. Yeah, there are some great pictures there. I really enjoyed seeing your pictures. Are you posting any more?
I didn't take that many pictures. I'll probably post some more pictures from MomoCon, which was the anime convention I went with Fred to. She's more interested in Japanese animation. And we were there Friday and Saturday and had a good time with that, and I saw several people as the Doctor there, and every time I saw the Doctor there, I'd say, why aren't you at the Doctor Who convention, which is only a few miles away? Which was...
The anime is one of my big favorite things. Absolutely adore it.
And besides anime, it was also... There was just regular animation was featured at MomoCon, and one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had was on Friday night. About half of the voice cast of Animaniacs were on stage, and they sang the theme song of Animaniacs. And it was just so, it was great. I managed to record it. I mean, it's not the greatest
video. It was brilliant.
But it was great.
Thank you. Right then.
And also they sang the state capitals and the countries of the world.
Now, was MoboCon a cheaper con to go to than TimeGate?
All no. Better advertised.
Better advertised, much bigger. I mean, it was huge.
Oh, okay.
It cost me much more than TimeGate.
No, quite a few
can't
people.
I believe you're not strong there. Enough to push the door open.
MoboCon.
So I'm talking to the co-founder of the show who's
MoboCon was mute. I'm sure everyone has heard of DragonCon.
Yes.
Yeah. MoboCon used two of the five hotels DragonCon uses, but they were in that same gigantic facility, whereas TimeGate uses kind of this regional Holiday Inn.
That was the co-founder of the show slamming on the front door on the way out. Carry on.
No, we already spoke about the carry-on film. All right.
Excellent.
I'm done.
Thank you, Kirby. Right, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. And Isabella has been... Oh, I'll have to pause. Got put in the theme tune. Right then, Isabella was thinking, oh good, I can read out the questions. But no, she can't because she's taking part this week.
Yeah. There we go.
And she's going to get double points because there's no chance of her doing anything in the quiz. Right then, Isabella, it's your question.
Oh my god.
What is the title of episode one of the Romans?
I forgot.
No, it's not that. Anybody?
I don't know.
The slave traders.
That's a point for Kirby. Right, Kirby.
I don't know.
Why did Vicky want to get to the village quickly? I think Isabella knows the answer to this one. I wish she wouldn't whack her microphone in the process of putting her hand to her mouth.
She wanted to get there before the market closed.
She
That's
did.
Right.
Well done. Unlucky Isabella. Right, Debbie.
Yeah.
How long had the TARDIS crew been in Rome?
Ooh, I know.
A month?
I'll give you that. Nearly a month was the actual answer, but it's near enough. Mary.
Yes?
Who was Flavius Giscard?
I have no idea.
Anybody?
The names in this had me totally bummed.
Do you know Isabella? Because you just put your finger up.
We all know Isabella.
Come on, Isabella. Was it the... Yes? Hello?
I forgot.
She forgot. Anybody?
The slave trader?
No, he was the owner of the villa.
Oh yes.
Right. Isabella.
Yeah.
Oh no.
What did the TARDIS crew sell at the market? Insert gap here. What did they sell at the market?
Well,
have a guess. Hang on. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
Hang on. What did you say?
I'm thinking.
Well, too late. Kirby, you said master. What were you going to say?
Yes, they sell the things that they're growing at the village.
Yes, that's right. See, you, Amin and Aaron gave Kirby enough time to look it up on Wikipedia. Right, Kirby.
No, I don't have Wikipedia open.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Kirby. What bird did Barbara cook them for dinner?
Peacock.
Correct. Debbie.
Yep.
What is the name of the bearded slave hunter?
Oh. Didius.
Correct. Mary.
Yes.
See, she probably has Wikipedia open.
Me.
Right then, this is an educational one for you, Mary. What is the translation of O tempora, O mores?
I knew you were going to ask that. I don't know. I don't remember.
No, I thought you would. Anybody?
But it's obvious. But it's out.
Well, it's time. Oh, something. Time.
Yeah. I'll give you a point for the time bit. And what was the other thing, Kirby?
Laws.
No, yeah. Customs. But that'll do. Right. Whose go was that? Was Mary's go. Right, so the pointings, at the momentings. At the last place with no points is Isabella. And she's very competitive, so there could be double tears. Points. We could get actual tears on the 20 Megabyte podcast, probably for first time. In third place, Mary with 1 point. In second place, Debbie with 4 points. And in the lead, Wikipedia with 6 points.
I shouldn't know the question.
I don't have Wikipedia open.
Right, then. Me to
take a screenshot.
Me thinks yes. Thou protestest
You have Wikipedia open as much as Rhys Parton has written a book of excuses. Right then. Isabella. Which character is from Corinth?
Come on,
you should know this one, Isabella.
So you gave her the easy ones, huh?
It's a luck of the draw. It's a luck of the draw.
Draw?
You don't know then, is that what you're saying?
Why do I have to look at the draw?
No, I said the luck of the draw. Do you know? Stop popping around. Makes you look like you need to go to the toilet. Do you? Right, okay, that you don't know then, obviously, do you? No, right then. So anybody know who are you?
Maximus
Debbie
Maximus Petulian.
Yes, that'll do. That'll do. Yes, that's near enough. Kirby.
Written down.
Where was the centurion going to take the doctor and Vicky first on their way to the city of Rome?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Oh, Debbie.
I said I don't have...
I'm joking. That's why I said, never mind. I'm not going
to. I've got some notes written down. Obviously, I paid attention to that bit.
Debbie.
Oh, yes, sorry.
How did Maximus Petalion, whatever his name is, how did his killer end up losing his fisticuffs with the doctor?
Vicky hits him over the head with a plant.
I'll give you a point for that because it's not entirely accurate. Anybody want to get to...
Doesn't she push him out a window?
She chases him out of a window, but I'll give you a point for that as well, Mary. Right then. Mary.
Yes?
What did the galley master repeatedly chant?
Row?
No. Anybody? Isabella? Stop touching your microphone. Who said that?
Me.
Right then. Isabella, your question. That's correct, by the way. In out is correct. Right. What is the name of Ian's new best friend
usually
in the story?
What?
What is the name of Ian's new best friend in the story? What's his name? Oh, good grief.
Isabella,
see, this is...
Isabella.
Delos?
No, it was Delos. I'm not giving you double points for that one. I'll give Debbie a point. Because she would have got it in the next person. All right, giving her a point. Right then. Kirby.
Master?
Who purchased Barbara from the slave traders?
The bald guy, whatever his name was.
Yes, we need his name.
Tavius.
Is correct.
Yeah, what kind of a name is Tavius?
You were going to say
like
that,
something that's added to a name, but I don't know that would be a name by itself.
Right.
What kind of name
what
is?
What would it mean?
Doesn't matter.
Ian or Barbara?
Doesn't
Ian.
Matter. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Who was Tigellinus? Sorry, with a difficult name. Who is Tigellinus?
The Nero slave running around trying to get his.
He was indeed. Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, I can hear echoes. What was Nero's wife's name?
Poppaea.
Correct. And the scores so far, thus far. In last place with an ill-earned point, Isabella. In third place with 4 points is Mary. In second place with 8 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 11 points, it's Debbie.
All right, this you go, girl.
Isabella's question.
We need Matthew to so.
Matthew
Debbie's got some
is avoiding Debbie because I think that's what it is. I think he can't come on the show because he thinks he's going to get trounced every week in the quiz. Right, Isabella, this is your question. When the doctor suggested that he made a mistake, what did Vicky say sarcastically? You weren't listening during this particular section of the show, were you? No, you didn't say no. Never mind, doesn't matter. Anybody else know?
No.
No.
giving Nero the
idea to run.
Yes, it's that's rare for you is the answer, as Isabella just dictated. Right, Kirby.
Yes,
Master.
How did Nero test to see if his drink was poisoned or not?
He gave it to the one slave who was following him around. I don't remember the guy's name.
I'll give you it anyway.
Tigilius.
Tigilinus, yeah. Debbie.
Who? Oh, by the way, Master.
Yes, yes.
That particular, there was a historic figure who had that name, but he wasn't a lowlife slave following him around. He was actually like the leader of one of the guard units.
Thank you for that. Right, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
Where did Ian and Barbara see each other again first, after their initial separation? Oh, Isabella's got her hand up.
Is that when they were in Nero's personal arena?
Yes, they were. It was, I should say. Bad luck, Isabella. Right, Mary. What is the cliffhanger to episode 3?
Oh, that's where the Ian and the other guy are fighting, and the guy's sword raised over Ian's head.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll give you that one. What I've got written down is Nero saying cut off his head and doing the thumbs down, but it's for that reason, so that's fine. Right there. Isabella.
Inaccurately, yes.
You won't get this one. Right? No. You won't get this one. Ready? Episode 4's title is the same as a future Doctor Who story. What is it? Didn't think you'd get that one. Right then. I heard Debbie go, ooh.
Is it Inferno?
It was Inferno. Yes. Right then. Kirby.
Master.
What is the approximate date the story is set in?
54.
Month and year.
I know.
664? Yes, the year 64, but I don't remember the month. I'm sorry.
Right, I'll give you a point for the 64. Mary remembers the other bit.
It's July.
It is July. Right then. Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Doctor set fire to Nero's plans?
I know.
Isabella knows too. Well, give her a chance. She did have her hand up before you said, I know. Yeah. Go on then, Debbie.
Was he just waving them around near a candle?
Nope. Isabella.
Well, the sun catched fire on it because it was near the window and the sun was shining and it got on fire.
But what did it shine through?
Yes, it was shining through.
I'm going to give you that one. It was shining through his glasses.
His brainy specs.
Yes. Right.
Is
double
this one of the first
Isabella.
Times we saw the brainy specs?
And I've given Isabella too many points. Sorry. I don't know, to be honest with you. But that was the answer. So this is Mary's question. What did Nero tip out onto the floor for the peasants? I might be generous with pointing on this one, depending on how you answer the question. And you've got to think how I would be thinking while watching this, how I would write it down. So what did Nero pour onto the floor for the peasants?
And he poured a bunch of coins.
Yeah.
That is... I'll give you 2 points for that. An extra point for being a bit more accurate.
Washers.
Thank you, Debbie.
Washers.
You would have got 3 points if you'd actually mentioned exactly what they did pour on the floor, which were not Roman coins. They were just a tin full of washers. You don't know what washers are, do you? They are discs with holes in them.
They go on taps.
Yes. Well, these don't. Yeah, these go on the screws.
So how do you know they were washers?
Well, if you look at it, they're not coins. They've got holes in them.
They did have coins with holes in, but they were nowhere near.
They were plain. They were flat discs.
That's how people would carry them.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything molded onto them. They were just flat discs.
But they were definitely washers.
Isabella has some Roman coins in her room, don't you?
Yeah.
So what happened?
They didn't mention that they were washers in the info text.
No. Irrelevant.
I didn't look at them to
irrelevant. Mary got 2 points for getting it right anyway.
Some of the coins are like in different shapes.
Oh, they are washers. Look at that.
Thank you for that. And there's somebody at the door. So we'll pause there while the door gets answered.
Mom.
It's the post.
No,
I've just seen the postman walk down past my house.
I'll get it.
Here she comes, just be quiet.
Debbie, do you live on the same street as Adam?
No, I live around the corner, and the post cuts down through one of the house's gardens next to mine after he's been on Adam's road.
All clear for the next question. Right, so the scores are, at the moment, in last place with 3 points, it's Isabella. Don't cry. In third place with 9 points, it's Mary. In second place,
I'm angry.
Oh, yeah. In second place, be quiet, is Kirby with 11 points. And in the lead with 15 points, it's Debbie. The next question goes to...
My keyboards have stopped working.
Irrelevant. Isabella, this is your question. What is the name, the first name that Nero thought up for the new Rome? When he was thinking of names for it, what was the first name he came up with?
I'm trying to think. I didn't know his question. I was still out of my head.
Yeah, right. Anybody else? Go on then, have a quick guess before we...
Well, I've got the second and the third, but I don't remember the first.
Was it...
No, it wasn't. Right then. So anybody... Who said that was Mary? Go on then, have a go at the second, or your second one you think might be the first.
Well, the second one was Neropolis, but I don't remember the first.
That was actually the first one. I didn't hear anything other than that, so...
Oh, he did three
he
names,
did three,
but I only
Neropolis
got
the first one. Isabella, what are you doing? Oh, you're sitting down, you're sulking. Okay, then, right. And so the next one is... Oh, hang on, whose question was that? That's Kirby's question next.
Master.
Where did Barbara and Ian head for at the end of the story? What town? Name of town.
I don't know.
Assisian?
He is correct. Debbie.
Okay.
How did the doctor stop Ian from telling them his story? Yes?
I don't... I'm not sure about that. He said they were dreaming.
No, Isabella, how did the doctor stop... hang on. How did the doctor stop Ian from letting him tell the story? Do not sit there looking all sad. It's only a quiz. How did he stop him? What did he do? You don't know. Anybody? No? He shoved a grape in his mouth. Right. Mary.
Yeah.
What did Ian take as a Roman souvenir?
Oh, that elaborate little pitcher.
Pardon?
The jug.
The jug, yeah.
Is that what pitcher is? Jug. Okay, right. Yes,
it's a
okay. What else?
Master?
Hang on. Master? Yes, yes. Let Mary finish answering the question first.
Well, it was the pitcher, the jug, whatever.
Yeah, and?
Oh, and?
Yes, you don't know, do you? Anybody else with the other part?
Goblet.
That'll do. Go on then, Kirby. Yes, what were you going to say?
I have an observation that was kind of brought up by the info text. Mm-hmm. Since you've seen Web Planet and I have not.
Yes.
Does the bracelet that Nero gave Barbara have something to do with the Web Planet story, because they were saying something about how the bugs in the Web Planet like gold?
I can't remember. Possibly.
Okay.
Sorry.
You know, I know she shows it off, but I don't know that it's central to the story.
Okay, right, then the scores are...
She does have it in that story?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
Right, then the scores are, with only two questions left, so these are going to be three for all questions, with Isabella getting priority. She's sulking at the moment. In last place with 3 points, it's Isabella. In second place with a joint score of 11 each, it's Kirby and Mary. And then the lead with 17 points, it's Debbie. Right, can you put the headphones back on, please, Isabella? And stop shaking your head like that. Right, Isabella and everybody, but this is, just for the sake of it, she won't get this one anyway. Isabella, what episode followed this story? And if you had the headphones on, you would have known, because they were talking about it.
Well, is this for all of us?
Yeah, it's for everybody. I'm just giving Isabella a chance to know. She's her lips starting to quiver a little bit now. So, anybody, what's the next story?
Web Planet.
And Debbie gets in there first. Right, then, last question.
I said it only a minute before you asked.
Yeah, but that doesn't... It's not. You don't answer questions in advance of them. Grief. Last question.
Right. It's a time travel suit. I can do that.
What was Raymond Jones's contribution to the Romans?
Incidental music?
Correct, Mary.
Hey, she
must have. That was a lucky guess.
And thus ends the quiz in... Isabella can do the scoring, so we can... No, she's shaking her head for that one as well. She's in proper sulk mode at the moment. Right then, in last place, with three very creditable points, and two of them earned by herself, Isabella. In third place, with 11 points, is Kirby. Please don't cry, Isabella. This is a fun podcast. In second place, with 13 points... Mary, and the winner this week, but she can't collect the points card because she's not here, is Debbie with 19.
Wow, now we know who Matthew's competition is.
That's why he's not on the show. He can't face the chance of defeat, rather like Isabella, actually. It's now time for news. You want to help me with news, Isabella? She's shaking her head and the lips quivering so much it flapped around as she shook her head. Oh. Okay, right, let's see if we can do some news.
Neither of my keyboards is working. I would have to reboot to I can't bring up the news page.
Well, that doesn't really matter because I'm bringing it up. Right then, Isabella. All right now? No, okay. Is there anything I can do to appease you? Okay, right. Isabella has won the quiz. Congratulations, Isabella, for being so brilliant.
I can see my points to make her happy.
Debbie has given you all of her points, which means you've won with 21. Congratulations.
Well, Isabella is our.
She's not listening. She's taking her headphones on. She's in the proper. She's in the proper mood. But congratulations. Well done. Right, news. I'll tell you what we saw. We saw the first trailer, teaser trailer by the BBC, which was this absolute rubbish. It was just a thing that said, in August. That's good news. The trailer itself was a bit of a letdown. However, there was a fan-made one, which was well worth me posting on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which was actually quite beautiful. Come on, BBC. If a fan can do a trailer like that, surely you can. Hey. Right, so news. All right, where did we get up to last week? Not much news, actually, this week. We've got a...
I don't know, I can't bring
a
up...
Humble Bundle deal at IDW Comics. Apparently there's a load of issues coming in a bundle with them, if you like your comics. US Cinema outing for Rise of the Cybermen and Age of Steel. We just spoke about that last week, but I didn't know where that was actually going to be staged. And you were asked whether you were going to it, Mary, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
We've done the... Frank Skinner's actually been confirmed to being in Doctor Who, whereas last week he was rumoured to be in it. And there's been more trailers for Titan Comics released. And it says, Recovered Episodes Restoration Video Release. The Restoration Team... team member Paul Venezes has released a video showing some of the delicate work carried out on the Second Doctor episodes that were recovered last year. I'm not going to watch that at the moment, but if you want to watch it, it's 4.5 minutes. No, it's nearly 5 minutes long, actually, if you want to watch it.
That video came out 2 weeks ago.
Did it? Well, I do apologise, Kirby. It says here Sunday the 18th of May, which is 2 weeks ago. What's happened to my browser? Isabella? What's happened to my browser? Nor is your audio.
Kirby's going cyber.
Yes. I see it, really. There's not much going on. It's Doctor Who Adventures have got masks of Matt Smith and the Cybermen.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame. And the Doctor Who parody by Hillywood Show, which I haven't watched yet, is also...
Excellent. Yes.
So I must try and find a way of watching that.
Someone made a comment on the Facebook page about how they did it with all this, you know, low-tech equipment. That's not true. If you watch the making of, they've got a lot of very sophisticated equipment.
Yeah, that was Eddie who said that. Can you hear me?
No, yes. Can't hear anything. Okay. Can anybody hear Kirby? No, can't hear Kirby. Can you hear Kirby as well?
That was Eddie that said that, and I was wondering what he was talking about as well, because he says this thing about how they were using a non-video camera, and yet, hey, it's video. How can it looks like a digital SLR, but all those nowadays can do videos, and it looked like a very sophisticated, expensive camera.
I'll tell you what, the Nikon, as it is Nikon, D800 is particularly good for doing video. In fact, it does broadcast quality video. I'd like to have one.
And that looks like the sort of thing that they had.
Well, I noticed on their little camera thing it said Canon, so whatever Canon has, that's comparable.
Yes.
But they built all those sets, and oh my god, and all the costumes they had there. Oh my gosh, if you haven't seen it yet, be prepared to be amazed.
Excellent. Right, I'll tell you what. Our competition winner, that's Lottie, who did listen to the show after me saying she doesn't listen to the show. She did actually listen to last week's show, mainly because I said, you need to listen to this show. she is absolutely thrilled to bits with her prize of that Dalek scarf.
I must go and find one for myself.
Yes, she loves it.
Is she going to start... good. I figured out a way of actually opening things on my browser. It's very
strange. You getting distracted?
Is she going to start... listening now?
Well, I hope so. That would be nice. So we better be nice to her just in case she is listening. Right then. Our sponsors are, Mary. No, not you, Mary. You're not our sponsor. Our sponsors are, Mary, what are our sponsors?
Are you asking me or Debbie?
You. Your name's Mary. Debbie's name's not Mary.
I thought I heard you say Debbie. All right. whowon.co.uk.
Correct. I got
is that
new
whowon.co.uk?
It is. Look, Isabella, they've got new stuff at whowon.co.uk. Stand up. You can't see where you sat down on the floor. Right, what's this thing here? Let's click on it. What's it?
It's a bag.
It's a bag. What's on the bag?
A Dalek.
It's, yes. And how much is it?
£9.99.
And what colour's the bag?
Blue.
And what sort of flag logo is on the bag with the Dalek?
The Great Britain.
That's the one. That's very nice, actually, if you're a lady and you like to sort of carry a bag that's quite posh and Dalek-y.
It's quite bright blue, isn't it?
Yes, it's more of a sky blue, I thought.
Yeah, it's nice.
Sorry, Isabella's just doing the measurements for the keen shopper.
It's nice. I like it.
It is nice. And what else do we have, Isabella?
A kid's umbrella.
Priced?
£8.99.
And what colour is it?
Blue and brown.
No, it's black, dear. Blue and black. And what are on each panel, either black panel, should we click on it? But the picture doesn't get any bigger than that, though, does it?
Master.
Cool. Yes. I can see.
Yes.
If I may go back to a subject that we had been talking about, because I was unable to open up any browser pages, particularly Facebook. I figured out how to do that. The restoring Doctor Who thing that you tried to bring up as this week's news, I had posted, I'm the one who posted that on the Facebook
page. You were,
page,
yes, that's right.
And last week, and I made a note that the restoration team is in Perryvale.
Yes, you did, yes, I remember this.
So there.
Thank you. Isabella, I've got another rather interesting item on whowon.co.uk. You have to stand up for this because you can't see through the table.
I can't see it.
Right, what's this though?
Winterman to me when he stuff.
Right, what? I'll help you with that one. Doctor it's Wit, Hugo. Wisdom and Timey Wimey Stuff, quotable Doctor Who book, hardback cover by Cavan Scott, or Scott Cavan, or Cavan Scott, and Mark
Cavan
Wright.
Scott Cavan and Wright.
No, it's Cavan Scott and Mark Wright.
And Mark Wright, yeah.
Cavan Scott, there's a video on my the 20 megabyte YouTube channel. Of him with Sophie Aldred. So there we go. So that stuff you can buy at whowon.co.uk. Do so because they're our sponsors, and the more stuff you buy from them, the longer they'll sponsor the show. Talking of sponsors, and I have already met them because Lavazzi were the ones who very quickly sent Lottie Keane her Dalek scarf. If you like the idea of having one you actually have to pay for, because it was a prize in the competition, then yes. Go to lavazi.co.uk. They have Dalit scarves there, and as Lottie said, they're absolutely wonderful. Especially, I think they're more aimed at the lady market, because they're quite sort of feminine looking. So go for it. That's lavazi.co.uk for the Dalek scarf. And if you want to buy the book that's in conjunction with our quiz show, will you stand up? You put me off sitting underneath that table. You won't get this one. It's called The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book. You can get that on Amazon and on iTunes. And who wrote it? Who wrote it, Isabella? Who wrote The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book by Evan Pearson? Who wrote it? Well done. Yes, it was me. Yes. Obviously, if you don't like Doctor Who, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, but you might also like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, of which I have also written quiz books for, and it's coming up to the time when I get my royalties, so if somebody could buy them, that would be great. Right then, what else have we got to talk about? Should we do eBay, because we have a bit of time left? No? Okay, we won't. I'll do something else then. Ben isn't going to be on the show this week, clearly, because he's forgotten. I did send him a message saying, are you on? He hasn't replied to it yet. He'll probably come up. As soon as we end the show, he'll probably turn up. What do you think of the Roman? All right. you're going to pull my camera off the table, for goodness sake. I'm sort of fidgeting. She'd get uncomfortable because she's got nowhere to sit. She's sitting on the floor. Right then. Stop squeaking. I've got to change my password on eBay, by the way.
I'm not squeaking.
Yeah, I haven't changed my password yet.
I haven't changed mine because I know what it is. I've had that password for about 10 years. I don't want to change it now. I wouldn't be used to it on eBay. Right. Well, they've changed the setup on it. That's confusing me. Right, list highest first. Spearhead from space. No, here we go. This is a Doctor Who character building characters that are apparently the most rare ones. Nobody's actually put a bid in, surprise, surprise, because guess how much they are?
Don't want to try.
Isabella, you can't see from down there. How much are these figures?
£3,000.
£3,000. It says, new, brand new, unused, unopened, undamaged item. Would hope so too at £5,000. Pardon?
£5 million.
No, it's £5,000. You need to put your headphones on because you won't be able to hear anybody.
£5 million.
Yes. It says very rare, Doctor Who, super rare. It says very rare and super rare, so they can't make up their mind how rare they are. And they're cased sets with certificates, and they're only a few made. And they're Series 1 and Series 2, all 10 super rare, mint as new. Yeah, it's very... what probably would have been a better way of doing this is selling them individually and accumulating the money that way, because nobody in their right mind is going to pay £5,000 for a collection of characters that actually cost £1.99 each. Whether they're rare or not. Talking of rare, what's this here, Isabella? It's the old Phantom Doctor Who complete chess set by Danbury Mint. And how much is that one? Yeah, you can't see from down there, can you? You have to stand up.
£2,999.
No, £2,999. Right there. Oh, I've got a message. It's Ben. Sorry, no way busy, he says. Right. The item with, the most expensive item with people actually bidding for is this one here, Isabella. I'm going to click on it for you so you can read it out. Right, what does that say?
The home-built Dalek mode.
Model.
Dear. Model, full size.
And the price is?
£1,000,000. £1,190.
Yeah, so forget about the million bit, the £1,190 for. It is very nice, though. And some nine people think this is very nice because it's had nine bids against it. It's a Dalek, basically. It's very nice. I wouldn't mind one of them, but I wouldn't be paying that much money for it. So clearly several people with more money than sense. Yeah, so that's the most expensive item on eBay, Doctor Who-wise, with bids against it. See, this is, I feel quite nostalgic doing this particular piece, because this is something that me and your sister, what's her name again?
Alicia.
Used to do on the show many, many, and I can say years ago, because we're now 4 years old, so many years ago. For you it's many years ago, because when we started you were only three. It's Isabella's birthday soon, by the way. She's going to be, how old are you going to be?
Eight.
You are. Well done. So you got that question right. But when it comes to quiz things, you struggle a little bit, don't you? Don't start crying she'll again. It doesn't matter.
She'll get there. She'll beat us all in the end. You'll see.
Well, yes. Well, I hope so, because if she's going to cry because she isn't winning the quiz, Mary will be crying every week. I'm only joking, Mary. Well, I'll tell you what, somebody who isn't definitely not winning the quiz every week, that's Matthew. Because he can't be bothered to enter. And anyway, oh, by the way, if you're not a member of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, you're missing out on the actual picture I posted this week of the book itself. Yes, that's Rhys Barton's Book of Excuses.
It's rather large. Yeah, that was very clever.
I think that's very clever. Well, because Rhys has written such a big book, or?
No, that you posted it.
Well, I just downloaded it from Amazon and put it on there.
Yes,
anyway,
Jamie, it's quite big.
The item with the second most, or sorry, the most metal, the second most expensive item on eBay relating to Doctor Who is Isabella. I'll click on it here. Stand up. You can't read it from down there.
Isabella's on eBay?
No, what's this here?
Doctor Who
Confidential.
Confidential poster signed by Anthony Head.
Yeah. Apparently somebody thinks that a Doctor Who Confidential poster signed by Anthony Head is worth £245.
Wow.
The mind
there definitely are people
boggles.
Out there with more money than brains, yes.
I don't think there's going to be much else. But that is the most surprising one ever. I'd not spend a fiver on a poster signed by Anthony Head, to be honest with you. No offence, Anthony, but it's not like a poster signed by William Hartnell, which would be rare. You know, anybody can go to a convention and meet Matt Anthony Head and get their poster signed. You'd want £245 for it. Would you, Kirby?
No.
Nah, no, exactly. Right, see if I can find a third item. Keep your eyes open, Isabella. Here we go, found it. Okay, Isabella, this is the third and final item with bids against it. It is a
Doctor Who
Millennium
for
FX.
FX Sonic Screwdriver Port
Replica. Yeah. In English, it's a Doctor Who Millennium FX Sonic Screwdriver Port Replica. It is very, very nice. And how much is it, Isabella?
£195.
To certain people, including myself, and if I had £200 and I could get hold of it at that price, because it's so lovely, I might consider doing it, as long as it's made of metal, not plastic. But yeah, that's it. That concludes eBay for this week and for God knows how many more weeks to come. And rather concludes 20 Megabyte Podcast this week. Master. Yes.
Wait, when are you going to see the pythons?
In July. 16th of July, I believe.
Okay, so we're getting closer.
We are. So, what's on next week then, Kirby?
I wish I knew.
Underworld.
Yes, Underworld.
Underworld next week. Goody, goody. It's a
four-parter. My keyboard is not working, so I can't bring up.
Fortunately, we have Mary to provide us with the answers. So next week, Underworld, and when are we recording?
When are we going to do it?
No, I'm talking about recording, Kirby. Please keep certain things to yourself. I have a 7-year-old in the room with me.
That should have been my line.
Yeah, yes.
Let me see if I can...
Any way we can do it on Sunday?
Well, I think Sunday. What am I doing on Sunday this week, Isabella? Stop crying. It's only a quiz. What are we doing on Sunday?
Recording the podcast.
It looks like it.
Yes.
I am working on Sunday, but I should be back from work. I haven't got any wedding stuff to do. So apart from I might be showing it to the couple, but maybe not on this particular Sunday. If something comes up, I'll let you know, but I'm quite happy to do it on Sunday.
Oh, yay.
Good.
So is it Sunday then?
Yeah,
Sunday's fine for me.
There it is.
I'm sure good. Matthew will come up with a reason that he can't.
Yeah, and I'm sure Isabella will come
remember,
up with a reason.
Remember, anytime we record on a Sunday, about half the time he's asleep and can't join us.
Yeah, well, never mind.
It really doesn't matter.
Didn't use to stop him. Didn't use to stop him, did it, Isabella? No, she's
I'm
shaking.
Sure he will be back when.
Oh, and then you brought that interloper Debbie on. So, yeah.
Matthew did tell me that yes, I will be back.
Yeah, he said that
someday
ages ago.
I will be back.
Yeah, maybe when the new series starts in August, but that's not good enough because Rhys will probably try to worm his way back in by then.
Yeah, Rhys will come back then. Yeah.
So that's it then. So it's Underworld and Sunday. And thank you for listening to the show. I hope you join us again. Don't forget to send your emails into 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Isabella won't be on next week because you've decided to record it while she's in bed. So now she knows how Matthew feels. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye-bye.
You going to say goodbye then?
Hey.
in a slightly more cheerful way.
Give her a jelly baby.
It's not this. I know, she's upset because you lot are going, aren't you? No, she's shaking her head. What are you upset for? Because she can't say. She's upset.
I gave up my points.
She
won.
Anyway, thanks, Ian.
Give her a jelly baby. I'd give her a jelly baby, but mine are over here in America.
Do you like jelly babies, Isabella? She's nodding. Nodding doesn't work.
You posted pictures of the fun you all had at Robin Hill. So
there was one picture showing her getting a bit upset because we were leaving and without her having a chance to have a go on the toboggan. Because the queue was so large, wasn't it, Isabella?
I've never had to go on the toboggans at Robin Hill.
No, that's something for you to do when you do go there.
But you've got, what, three amusement parks on that tiny island?
They're not really the scale of amusement parks as you get in America.
They're not the scale of the amusement parks you get in England.
No, not really, no.
You've got Robin Hill, you've got the pirate whatever.
Black Gang Chime.
Like, yeah, and then don't you have one more? Okay, maybe you just have two. But still, that's a lot for an island where you can walk from one side to the other in 3 minutes.
I'd love to, Debbie, if Kirby had the chance to visit the Isle of Wight, dump him at the Needles and go and drive off to Bembridge and say,
meet you there.
We'll meet you there, but you'll have to walk.
Start walking.
Yeah. Yeah. Come and do Walk the Wight, that would do it.
Yeah. Walk the White's only half the White, though, isn't it? It's only like Bembridge to Newport. Yeah. No, you'd have to do the whole thing, all 26 miles. Right then, so that's it. Thank you. Bye.
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 The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.